In the Gospel of John, of Mark, Mark begins his Gospel by relating the story of the baptism of Jesus. Matthew, Luke, and John all began their stories of the life of Jesus with his birth, but not Mark. He started out with the baptism of Jesus first. Jesus came to the Jordan River. John was a baptizer there. He was probably a cousin to Jesus as far as the flesh is concerned. He was baptizing people by the droves. They were coming to be baptized. And suddenly Jesus shows up. And John looks up and sees Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus said to John, "Baptize me." And John did not want to do it. He said, "No, you ought to baptize me, not the other way around." Jesus said, "You go ahead and baptize me, John, because it's what God wants me to do." And so Jesus was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. The Bible says that when he was baptized, a voice came out of heaven and said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It also says that the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven and rested upon Jesus, kind of like a dove rested upon Christ. A very special day in the life of Jesus. Jesus lived on this earth for about 3.5 years. No, 33 years. He was in his public ministry after his baptism about 3.5 years. And he taught many things, worked many miracles, presented himself to the world as the Savior. Finally, he died upon an old rugged cross. He died there not for himself, but for us, for the sins of the whole world. He was buried in a grave. On the third day he arose, appeared to many over a period of days, and finally gathered his 12 disciples on a mountaintop. And he was going to go back up into heaven in what we call the ascension. Before he left to go back up into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age." So the believers went out and began to baptize. They preached and taught and made disciples and baptized. So for over 2,000 years, those who have come to Christ have done so and joyfully been baptized, saying, "I have been saved, I've been saved, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Christ is my Savior." And we're so happy today that we have a young lady, an expectant mother, who has come saying, "I want to be baptized like all of those others, and like Jesus was." Brooke, step carefully down those steps. This young lady is Brooke Toy. Brooke came forward last Sunday morning after I gave the invitation. She came down the aisle and said, "For the first time today, I've seen the importance of being baptized. Maybe I didn't see it before, but I did today." Isn't that what you said? And she said, "I want to be baptized next Sunday." And we are so thrilled. This is what obedience is. In other words, when we feel the Lord wants us to do something, we do it. And we obey Him. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'd like for those to stand who are here with Brooke. I think about half of the congregation is there. Some of you are taking pictures, so you need to get a picture of all that bunch. They're our special guests. It is absolutely... Let's give them a hand, can we? Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless all of you today. I know that He is blessing you. I don't know, they may have given a hand when Jesus was baptized. For all I know, some of them probably did. Thank you all so much. You may be seated. Brooke, you have said that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and we're thankful for your profession of faith. Upon that profession of faith in Christ, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Like as you have been baptized with Christ, so you should be raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to come and be baptized? You just stand up and say, Brother Dave, go ahead and baptize me today. You know, anyone like that? No, I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. If you felt like it would be something you'd want to do today, we would do it because this is such an important part of our life today. So you be thinking about it. And if you've never followed Christ in baptism, after a while I'll be preaching a message, give an invitation, and you could come like Brooks did last Sunday and say, all right, I am ready to be obedient unto Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Brooke, for her husband, for her folks, all the many who came to see her baptized today. We're thankful that she has been an obedient person, and we pray that you will bless her, and that in the days to come, that you will bless her and the baby, and that all will be well. Lord, lead us by your Spirit today. Fill this place, Lord, with your presence. God, we pray, because we are people who need you more today than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike.
Brother Mike.
Yes. Amen. What? Well, my soul. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, listen, I know the pressure's on here. Shane, he's talking about you. And you both are going, you and Sharon.
Sandra.
Hallelujah. Come on up here, folks. Amen. Amen. How wonderful. Praise God. Just sing until we get through, Mike. Do whatever you want to. Amen. Amen.
I'll give announcements while they're...
Yeah, that'll be great. I guess I don't know if they... This is wonderful. I made the offer and here they came. And they may go home in wet clothes. I don't know about all that. Anyway, praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you here. It's a happy day, isn't it?
Amen.
And they have felt the need to come and...
Y'all
y'all go ahead. I need to talk to them back here. Yeah, and you can greet one another and have welcome time and so forth.
Okay.
I don't think anything's ever happened like this before. Amen. It's good to have something brand new to happen in the house of the Lord. Amen? Go ahead and let them greet one another if you want to, and then go ahead.
All right.
Well, I've never had it happen like this before. It's a thrill, isn't it? And it's wonderful for this to take place today. And Shane and his wife, Sandra, both of them said, we've never been more sure of anything in our whole life than what we're doing right now. And they're here without any change of clothes or anything else today. That's the way sometimes it ought to be. And so we're just so thankful that they have come. And so Sandra Griffin is going to come first. Be one more step, Sandra. Okay, all right. All right. Bless your heart. Okay. Try to keep... All right, everybody who is with Sandra, stand up. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. Amen. Sandra is holding in her hand a bracelet that belonged to your son, Drew. Brooke held it in her hand. And so, you all know that Drew died in a terrible accident back in October, this past October. And his name was Drew. And so we're thinking about him as well today. I do not have any idea what they've all gone through, but some of you do. Y'all have lost loved ones. But we're thankful today that we've put all this on a spiritual level. And we know that Christ is the answer, and He loves us so much. And Sandra Griffin, you said that Jesus lives in your heart, and you want to testify of that faith through baptism, right? Amen. Amen. Sandra, because of your testimony of your faith in Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Like as you died with Christ in baptism, so you've been raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God, amen. 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 I'll never forget, I was out at the parsonage back about in October or the month before, shortly before Drew died, and I was working in the yard, and Sandra walked by, and first time I ever met her, said something to her, induced myself to her. It wasn't but just a few days that the accident took place. And Sandra has been coming to church, and Brooke and some of your family members, Danny and Natalie and all back there. It looks like the Lord has been working in all of this in our lives, hasn't He? And that's the way His Spirit works. Shane? Shane! Come down, Shane! Y'all have seen that movie, haven't you? One of my favorites of all time. You've seen it too, haven't you, Shane?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. My goodness, you're not my little brother. You're my big brother, that's for sure. Shane works over here at Weyerhaeuser, don't you?
Yes, sir.
With John Dooley.
Oh, that's right.
He took off work, came over here, got redressed, came to church, and didn't know this was going to take place.
No.
But Shane, you believe in Jesus with all your heart.
Yes, I do.
And He is your Savior and your Lord.
That's right.
And you're witnessing of that faith through baptism today. You want to go through with this?
Let's do it.
Amen. How old are you, Shane? How old is he?
47.
What is that? I have a son that's 47, just your very age.
Yeah.
I surely do. Well, because Jesus lives in your heart today, we're going to baptize you, Shane. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Won't you stay down here?
I baptize you now, my big brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like as you died with Christ in
baptism,
so you've been raised to walk in
newness of life. Amen? Oh, glory. Amen. Hey,
Oh my goodness.
This is wonderful. I don't care what I preach today, and you don't either, do you?
We know we're already
preaching, right?
Yes.
Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you for Shane and Sandra and Brooke. And Lord, we just know you're at work in this place today. And I praise your name for their testimony of faith today. And I pray this will be even the beginning of a stronger, deeper relationship with you. And with all of our folks around here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Shane. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
My, this is wonderful. Well, Mike, y'all just go ahead and sing whatever you want to sing.
You sure?
sure you don't ask anybody else?
Yeah, anybody else? I mean, we got this thing going, why not?
Amen.
Yeah, John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, and folks were coming from everywhere.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful that all of you are here today. It's good to see everyone. Quite an unusual service, wasn't it? I never had it happen like this before. But that's wonderful. We keep saying, I wish things would happen at church that would wake us up and not be just like the same old, same old, same old. And days like this, I want us to look just for a few minutes before we have the invitation at Acts chapter 16. This is the sermon that I was planning to preach today, Acts chapter 16. And it's the story, I titled my sermon, The Jailhouse Rock. Now, that's kind of what was happening. I think we kind of had a First Baptist Church house rocking today. That's a catchy kind of a title, and some preachers do that. I did that. Not original with me. On this passage, probably there have been thousands of sermons preached ever since the days of Elvis Presley, who had a song. And some of y'all could probably sing it. Wholesale block. Dance into the jailhouse rock. I won't sing it. My wife is saying, hurry up, go on, hurry up, go on. I like to sing some of Elvis's songs, of course. That was a popular one, wasn't it? Along with Hound Dog and all those other songs that he made very, very popular. The reason I thought about the title for the sermon was that in verse 25 of Acts 16, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, in that verse, you see that it was midnight. A lot of things happen at midnight. Sometimes we feel pretty low and blue and sad at midnight. This was a midnight experience. And Paul and Silas, they were preachers or missionaries, is what they really were. And so they had come to a town called Philippi. And Paul and Silas were preaching. Now it says in verse 25, at midnight they were praying. They were praying and singing praises unto God. And notice what the Bible says. The prisoners down the hall there heard them praying and singing songs of praise. Those prisoners usually heard people, I suppose, cursing and fussing and complaining and all kinds of terrible things said. And they had heard that. But they heard Paul and Silas. They were praying and singing praises unto God. And I can imagine these prisoners were impressed by that. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, the jailhouse is going to rock after all, isn't it? Looks like it to me. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands or chains or handcuffs or whatever they had chained with, they were loose. They just came loose. And the keeper of the prison woke out of his sleep. He saw the prison doors open and he drew out his sword and was going to commit suicide. That's what it means. In those days, it was very serious to let a prisoner escape. And it's still serious today to let a prisoner escape. And if one escapes out of Nashville, poor old Zach over there, he's our new police officer. If a prisoner escapes, we'll see Zach run out the door and go after him, won't you? That's exactly, I'd expect you to do that. Well, this prisoner was taken, he was in charge of all those, the jailer, a keeper of the jail had charge of all those prisoners. And so when he saw that the doors were open, the cells were opened, the prisoners didn't have any handcuffs or chains or bands, it says, on, he thought, man, I am going to get it. I might as well go ahead and kill myself. So he took his sword and he was getting ready to and kill himself, because he saw that the prisoners, supposing they had all fled. But notice verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice and said, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Then he called for a flashlight and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. So you can see this man, this jailer, we don't know what his name was. We know he had a great responsibility and he was very troubled at what had taken place. He got a light, like a flashlight, and shone it around. Now he saw that Paul and Silas could have all escaped, but they didn't. You see, they could have run away. They could have fled, but they chose not to, and they stayed there. And so he fell down before Paul and Silas, and it says he brought them out and said, sirs, he called those preachers, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said to that man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household shall be saved. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and they spoke the word of the Lord to all that were in his house, which would indicate to me those who were old enough to hear and to understand. There were some, probably some baby like Austin and Kinsey have right there, little Logan. Now, he couldn't hear and understand, so he wasn't one of them that got baptized that night. He wouldn't have been. Someday he will be, no doubt. But he preached to all that were in the house of this jailer who could hear, who could listen, who knew what it was about. And it says in verse 33, so he took them the same hour of the night. He washed their wounds, it says their stripes. In other words, Paul and Silas had been beaten to a pulp. It wasn't any little bitty fight or any little bit of a persecution there. They had beaten them. And it says in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, threw them into prison, and charged the jailer to keep them safe. So here was the jailer who was washing the stripes, the wounds, and you can kind of imagine how it must have been. They were washing the wounds of Paul and Silas so they would feel better. They probably were in on the bunch that had whipped them and made the wounds there in the first place. Well, they got to washing their wounds. And he took them the same hour of the night, verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, immediately. So it says there it was at midnight, the jailer and those of his family, of his household, who had heard the word of the Lord, the word called the gospel. And so Paul and Silas took them and baptized them there at midnight. And verse 33-34 says, and when he had brought them into his house, he made breakfast. It says he fixed ham and eggs and pancakes. No, I'm adding to the word, aren't I? But that's what it was. It was a breakfast. After midnight, that's what it would have been. I don't know what all they had for breakfast, But no doubt he fixed them a good breakfast. So he got Paul and Silas, cleaned the wounds up. He was baptized. All of his family who believed were baptized. And they had a breakfast. And they rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Quite a change came in that man's life. You can just see it in what we were reading there. He was a jailer. He had charge of the prisoners. After the earthquake came and all of that, and after he thought about killing himself, committing suicide, he didn't have to do that after all. And we're thankful that he didn't. Here, the gospel message transformed the life of this jailer. We call him the Philippian jailer. Now, when he said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Here's what they told him. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." I was 12 years old when I was saved. That's what I did. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you all last Sunday, I was 12. I didn't know a lot about baptism. I didn't know a lot about the Bible. I'd been raised up in church, but I didn't know, you know, I didn't memorize and all this kind of stuff back in those days. I just felt in my heart I was lost. I needed to be saved. I heard that if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be saved. I believed that. I asked him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. That's called repentance. I was very sorry for the sins that I had committed. And I believe he came into my life. And on the next Sunday, I was baptized. And my brother, who was 10 years old, was baptized at the same time that I was. Now, all of these many years, and I'll soon be 78 years old in December, but all these many years since I was 12, I really do not remember ever doubting my salvation. A lot of people have. A lot of folks have been saved and they doubt and get saved, be baptized. I baptized some people in my ministry 3 or 4 times. We had a young man in Nashville, about every time we had a youth revival, he'd get saved again. And he was really sincere and he meant it with all of his heart. But he always felt like, well, I didn't do it right the first time. I really didn't mean it the first time. Well, I realize that, but I do not remember in my own experience all of those years since I was 12. I've been a bad boy. I've been a good boy. I've been a bad Christian. I've been a good Christian. I've been a real liar. Sometimes I felt like I was almost dead. All the experiences of my life. But some way I've always known that when I was 12, no work of mine saved me, and no good work of mine could keep me saved. I knew that whenever I was saved all the sins of the past and the present and the future. I wasn't partly saved. I was totally converted. I was born again. I was not perfect. Sins in my life and all of those things, and people who have known me through the years would say, he sure hadn't been a perfect person. But I've always known that when I was 12 years old, I did all that it would take ever for me to do to be saved. Because I knew that Jesus did it all. The jailer said, "What must we do to be saved?" And an old preacher many years ago said, "Well, sir, you're too late. Everything's already been done." And he was right. It's already been done. Where? At the cross. At the cross. On Father's Day, we had all you men to come and stand up here in the choir area, and you packed it out. And we sang, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Those men sang that And that's the truth. And that's what I've always believed and always proclaimed. That's the gospel. Jesus did it all. We love to sing that hymn, Jesus paid it all. And that means I can't pay any of it. He paid it all. The price of my sin and the miracle in your life happened the moment that you believed in Christ and you became a new person in Him because of what He did upon the cross of Calvary. Boy, that's called by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. And I see people boasting all the time about how good they are and faithful they are and how much they know and how often they go to church and how much they give and all this kind of stuff. And I think, well, that's wonderful. And we certainly do good works after we're saved, but that doesn't save us. Never has and never will. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had washed a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Would y'all stand and let's have a prayer and we'll have an invitation. And we're going to invite you today, if there's some decision that you feel led that you want to make, then you come and make that decision today and you'll be so blessed if you'll obey Christ. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the glorious baptisms that took place here. And I'm grateful, Father, for all who came. I'm thankful for Your word and for this story from the Bible about a jailer in Philippi who was saved and baptized at midnight and became a new person through You. Now, Lord, I thank You for today. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will lead us in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.